Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
At this time of the year, many are searching for presents to give to their loved ones. And that search takes them online to search to find the best deal. Whether it's on Black Friday or Cyber Monday, the search is on. Some people are searching for the perfect Christmas decoration that will outshine the neighbor next door. Many others are searching for a parking spot. If you're like me, I go to wherever we need to go, and my wife will go in to do the shopping, and I will search for the perfect parking spot. So round and round and round I go, battling to get that spot as everybody is busy trying to do the same thing. We're a searching people. We're always searching for something. And so at this Christmas season, my question to you is, what are you searching for? Many people on that first Christmas were searching as well, looking for something, looking for what they heard when it came to the news of the newborn king, but they all had different things in mind. You see, politicians were searching for this supreme leader who would show up on the scene. Business people were searching for this new kingdom that would finally come so that their profits would rise. As a matter of fact, someone like the innkeeper was probably searching for anybody who would just pay the going rate in his inn for a room for the night. I don't think he was banking on a pregnant teenager or a poor carpenter who needed help. There was even some within the church that were searching for a Messiah who would come and set up this new kingdom where they could rule and reign with him together. But you know what? There was also some people that were searching for the right thing, for the thing that had the right meaning. Because many of those people had their own agenda mixed in with their search, and so they missed the meaning of it entirely. But those that were searching with a better focus were the prophets, the shepherds, the wise men, even Mary and Joseph, all searching for the Prince of Peace, the one who would come and bring the peace that would abide and last. Matthew encourages our search in Matthew 7:7, when he says, "Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking or searching and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened." You know, it would appear in society that people are searching today too, even for spiritual truth. You look at magazines like Maclean's or Life or Time or Newsweek. All these big companies have teams of people that are researching the trends and the interests of their readers. And usually at this time of the year, they come up with cover articles that have to do with a search, the search for the sacred. Who is he? You know, and then there's a picture of Jesus on the cover. What's next? Or, you know, is there life after death? People clearly are still searching, perhaps now more than ever before. And they want to know if there's meaning to life. Does their life count? Is there a God? And if there's a God, how can they know him? Well, the good news is that the Bible has the answer to all of those questions, all of the wonderings of our heart, of those that are searching to find a God who loves them completely and accepts them just the way that they are. Today, we move into episode 2 of our month-long message series called Searching for Christmas, as we celebrate the season of Advent together. You see, Advent is all about waiting, expecting, praying, hoping, and preparing for the arrival of Christ. First as the child and Savior, and then as our returning King. So today we're going to look at searching for peace. And I want to welcome all of you that are joining us here in the house, perhaps those of you that are joining us online today or on our Calvary podcast. We're so glad that you've decided to join us for our favorite time of the year. And with this time of the year comes the music that is always in the background. Seems like wherever we go, there's this soundtrack to our life as Christmas music is pumped into malls and stores and wherever we're listening to the radio. Some songs I think we appreciate, right? Because they stir up great memories of days gone by. While other songs are kind of like that elevator muzak that's kind of slowly drilling a hole into our skull. Now, we all have our favorites, and I think one of mine, and I've probably said this before, is Silent Night. Silent Night is the song that we sing on Christmas Eve here as a church together when we light our candles. This is this great picture, this wonderful picture of peace. But for many at this time of the year, their nights are anything but silent. And peace is actually kind of far from their reach as they try to find it. The struggles that we face in this life are very real. But the peace of God is equally real, even in our darkest moments. Now, the announcement of Jesus came in the dark of night. The angels began their announcements to the shepherds with the words, "Don't be afraid." Why would they say that? Because these guys were likely terrified. They're human, just like you and I. And our world today is filled with things that can cause us fear. Silent Night is more than just a Christmas carol or even a holiday fantasy. It can actually be a reality in our lives. So where's the disconnect? Why are we lacking it? Well, let's start today with the angel's account in Luke chapter 2. Luke 2, 13 to 14 says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests.'" Now, scripture here is not talking about everybody. It's actually talking about a specific group of people. Not peace on the entire planet, not peace on earth, because there's actually no such thing as peace on earth. In fact, the only verse in the Bible where the phrase peace on earth is used is in the book of Matthew, when Jesus says, "I didn't come to bring peace on earth." Now, that'll mess with your head sometimes because people will say, "Well, what? I thought that's why he came." See, Jesus' goal wasn't to bring peace to the entire planet, but it was to bring peace to those that were in the midst of chaos, those that know him, those whom his favor rests. That favor is upon those who know him in the most troubling of times. And those that have that favor have it because of their relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus. Something that we're challenged to do on a daily basis to come closer to the Prince of Peace. You see, peace is a gift that Jesus worked very hard to pay for, to wrap up, and to present to each of us. And so my prayer for all of you at this time of the year is that your search for peace will end with knowing him, that you will experience more and more of him in your life, in your marriage, in your business, in your finances, in every aspect of your life, that you will experience more of Jesus today. You see, the peace the world offers is a counterfeit version. It's not the original. John 14, 27 says, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. The peace I give isn't fragile like the world gives." You see, that fragile peace is that counterfeit peace, that fake peace, that artificial peace that will always crumble under the weight of circumstance. So this peace that he's giving to us is not that at all. This peace is durable. This peace is authentic. You can rely on it. It's strong. It's something that you can always count on. And no matter what world leaders today promise when it comes to bringing peace, it's really impossible without him. Convincing people just to put their weapons down won't do it. See, because you can't remove conflict and automatically have peace. So a more accurate way to frame it is that peace is not the absence of something, but the presence of someone. Isaiah 9, verse 6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, as you study throughout Scripture and look at peace itself and how to experience it in our lives, it always comes back to, and it's directly connected to what Luke says is the favor of God. In other words, it flows from a personal relationship with him. And so if we're not walking with him, we're going to miss peace entirely. And no matter how chaotic it becomes around you, even over the Christmas season, you can still be experiencing that peace in the midst of those troubling times. Not only did he teach people how to be at peace with each other, Jesus himself served to make peace between people and God through the forgiveness of sin. And sin is that thing that separates us from a God who's holy and perfect and loving. And it's that forgiveness that he's paid for and given to us. And so when we recognize who he is in our lives, we come into a relationship with peace. God revealed himself to people through the person of Jesus. Jesus came to earth in a peaceful way, as a baby, in the humble circumstance of a manger, and growing up and living a humble life. Imagine if you were God and you needed to confine yourself to a human body. See, Jesus came to restore our broken relationships with God so that we could first experience wholeness and peace with ourselves and then extend that wholeness and peace to the world around us. So through a personal relationship with Jesus, the first thing that we see is we find wholeness and peace with God. He came to live life perfectly and died in our place to pay the consequence for the sin that left us twisted up, kind of like that box of old Christmas tree lights that you pull out of the garage. His death made peace between our sinful nature and God's holy nature. And his coming back to life gives us hope of living at peace with God, free from all that guilt and all that shame that weighs us down. You will never be good enough to find a way to release yourself from that guilt. But someone with the highest level of authority has made a provision for you by sending his son to pay for the freedom that you need by forgiving you of that sin. And in that moment, everything could be, listen, breaking loose all around you, but you stand at peace. You stand free. You stand in that moment forgiven. Romans 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith," so since we've been made clean, just as if I hadn't done it at all, since we've been justified through faith in Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you need that today. Some of you are searching and you don't always know what it is you're searching for. It's not just about attending church. It's not about getting more religion in your life. You need a peace that only comes from his forgiveness. You need the favor of someone who has the authority to do it within you so that you can walk out of here today, walk out of whatever place you're in your home, and you can walk out knowing that you're full of peace, that you're free from that sin and shame that has held you back. Through our relationship with Jesus, the second thing that we see is we find wholeness and peace with ourselves. You see, our esteem is based on what God thinks of us, something that never changes. Instead of the ever-changing opinion of other people around us, you don't live for other people's opinion of who you are or what you should be. We also don't live for the ever-changing circumstances that we face each and every day. Our identity is based on who God has made us to be, not on the things that we do or not on the things that we accomplish. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork." We're his creation, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we're complete. We're complete in him, not lacking for anything. God has gifted you to fulfill your purpose with the peace of knowing that you are irreplaceably significant, that you're eternally valuable. Some of you need to get alone long enough with God where you let everything settle around you and you meditate on those words and you hear God's voice in your life. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts you." So if you want perfect peace, that's how you do it. You make sure that your mind is steadfast as you put your trust in his word, in those principles. Trust what he says about you and not what your feelings say about you, because that's changing every moment of the day. You see, finding peace with ourselves starts with finding peace with God. The third thing we see is that through a personal relationship with Jesus, we find wholeness and peace with others. Discovering peace in our relationships only happens when we begin to change and start seeing people with the eyes of God and start loving them with his unconditional, unlimited love instead of our love that is just all caught up with things that people have to do to impress us, all those conditions. He loves us unconditionally. And that love starts with a love for his principles. Psalm 119:165 says, "Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." In other words, when my relationships are shaking, I won't stumble because I'm walking in them with the great peace that only comes from knowing him. And as you allow God's work to work within your life, it will move from your head to your heart to your feet. And you'll start to live in the reality of those truths. And as you walk it out, it will shape your relationships with others. And it will prevent them from failing. It won't make you perfect because we're just not going to get there. But it will certainly make us focused on our reliance with him. Peace with others is grounded in our peace with him. And then finally, through a personal relationship with Jesus, we bring wholeness and peace to the world that's around us. I'm talking about our communities, our city, our province, our nation, and the nations of this world. Walking in his peace allows us to begin to see hope for change. We begin to look at the world and not look at it with dread, to think that it just seems to be getting darker and darker every day. That may be true, but the light always shines brightest in those darkest moments. Philippians 4:7 says, "Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace, that world-changing peace, will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." You know, that scripture, every time I read it, it reminds me of Mary's soon-to-be husband, Joseph. This was a man who relied on that peace to guard his heart. His peace and God's plan for his life and his new family superseded what those around him thought about him. And even what he thought initially, he quickly went from panic, hearing what was going to take place in his life, to a place of peace. That first Christmas was birthed out of great anticipation and hope, as well as potential scandal and controversy. So he needed that peace to guide his decisions. And by not rejecting Mary, he determined to live for God's approval, not for man's, because he experienced true and lasting peace. Peace is not established by what happens around you. Is what happens within you that makes all the difference in the world. His favor is on those that know him. Let's pray. Father, right now I pray that wherever those that are viewing today's broadcast or listening to the podcast are, I pray that Holy Spirit, you would meet them in that moment, that they would come to a place in their searching where they recognize that the peace that they're after is found only in you. And I pray today they would recognize who you are, that they would understand your great love for them. And Lord, in this moment, I pray for each of those people, and if that's you watching or listening, just in this moment, I pray that by the Holy Spirit, you would trust him. And it's a simple moment of acknowledging what he's done and that he's done it for you. To say, Lord Jesus, I recognize that what you did on Calvary's cross, by giving your life, you gave it so that I could live. You gave your life so that I'd be forgiven of my sin and brought close to the Father. Come into my heart. Be my Lord, be my Savior, and help me even at this Christmas season to have a relationship, a personal relationship with the Prince of Peace himself. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's very best, Calvary. Have an amazing week. We look forward to seeing you again next week for Calvary Church Online.